Let's talk about lake trout, because there's been a pretty intense study done of the lake trout populations in the Adirondacks and, unfortunately, how that relates to climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting work. Mary Thill, a researcher with the Nature Conservancy, has put out this amazing summary of what do we know about lake trout and what are the environmental challenges they're facing. And it just struck me as, you know, someone who likes to go fishing, mm-hmm. I've really overlooked lake trout in favor of other things, you know, brook trout or bass or things like
trout.
That.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that they're not as common. I mean, just because we don't think about them. I think about lake trout, I think about like Lake Ontario, mm-hmm. you know, big lakes.
Yeah. Well, one reason we don't necessarily think of them as much is they tend to be down deep.
Uh-huh.
And as opposed to the ones up near the surface where someone lazy like me just sort of you know, goes right. for that. You really got to try to get mm-hmm. lake trout in.
Is it because it's cold down there?
Yeah. So in the summer, let's say the surface of a lake is warming up and that's where you get the stuff I go after. But down below is another layer, if it's a deep enough lake, more than 30 feet or so, that's cooler. And that's a refuge for lake trout.
So that water just stays down there because it's colder, denser, more oxygen, right? Because mm-hmm. it's colder.
Yeah, cold water holds more oxygen. So they're down in there. But if the lake is not deep enough to have that big reservoir of cold oxygenated water, then over the summer, you can't have them in there. Mm-hmm. So there are only certain kinds of lakes and certain conditions. So the real key is partly the temperature, but it's mainly how much oxygen. And it really only recharges that bottom water in the spring and the fall, when the temperature is just right and the top and the bottom of a lake stir up and uh-huh. it brings oxygen in to recharge that.
Oh, so there's nothing producing oxygen down there. It has to be replenished. So there has to be that difference between warm and cold. It's
yeah.
not just – there's just got to be enough of it to make that happen.
It's like refilling the oxygen tank basically.
Right. Ah.
So the lake's got to be that way. So the concern then is if anything makes that run out quicker, then it can be a problem for lake trout. And, of course, with the area warming now, the weather records are clear. We're getting less ice as well. The fear is some of the lakes that don't have that gigantic cold bottom reservoir could actually lose that refuge, the cold mm-hmm. water refuge, and lose their lake trout.
So I know this was a really extensive study. Are we already seeing that? Are we already losing habitat and some lakes are losing their lake trout?
Well, it's hard to know exactly. We know that we've lost a lot of them for other reasons, like overfishing is a problem and mm-hmm. pollution things and invasives. But so far right now, it looks like there are about 100 lakes out of the 3,000 lakes and ponds that we know of that have them. And the fear is we do know the warming is happening. We've seen evidence of some of the lakes with brook trout that also like cold water of becoming too warm for mm-hmm. the brook trout already.
So are we looking at the trout genetics? I mean, we've talked about fish that even from pond to pond in the Adirondacks are a little bit different. Like you got the XX perch over here and the YY perch, you know, they're different. Are they finding that in lake trout?
Yeah. Now with genetics really becoming a big thing in fisheries biology, it's not just interesting scientifically, but it's got practical applications. Like the Adirondack lake trout are darker color and a little mottled and brownish compared to silvery ones you'd find in the Great Lakes, let's say. And that's probably adapted to the brown water of our lakes. And apparently some genetic strains can handle slightly warmer water too. So it's well worth working out, not just for the scientific interest, but the practical interest of what are the genetic strains that are out there and which ones are the most resilient to environmental change.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger at Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley at St. Lawrence University.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.